Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever, and then we talk about them. My name is Luke Condor with Kate, and I'm joined by my regular co-host,
Mr. Ben Errington.
Mr. Barrington. How's it going, man? You alright?
It's going good, Mr. Condor.
Then I ever said that to you. Barrington.
Barrington? Yeah, I get Barrington quite a lot, you know.
Yeah,
you're not like the first one, mate. Is that there is a brand of water called Barrington. I've seen it before. I bought it. It was delicious.
Of course it was.
Some of the best water I've ever tasted.
Yeah, but it would
so
be.
So fresh.
Yeah.
It would be.
Okay, so in this podcast we've got the 50 best horror movies ever, as judged by some film students over at Empire Magazine. The professional film people now. And we're on last week we talked about It Follows. Actually, it wasn't last week, because last week we weren't here. We were in London doing other filmy type stuff. And we got to watch Stand By Me, which isn't a horror, but written by Stephen King. It's a great film. But the week before that, we talked about It Follows. And then this week, we are talking about number 29 on the list. Night of the Living Dead.
It feels like we're flying through this list, but it also feels like we're only chipping away at Smelly.
We're not halfway.
It feels like both. We're not even halfway, exactly.
We're not even halfway, yeah. Okay.
Should do anything special when we get halfway?
Well, maybe at the halfway point we should do one of the, like The Fly, or, you know, something that's like a classic that's not been an honorable mention.
Honorable mention has not been included on the list.
Or let's do like one of those things where it's like just a chat about horror movies and stuff.
Oh, a little chat.
A little chat. Like our five favourite horror movies that we, you know, grew up with and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a good idea. What a great idea.
Thank you. Do you want to tell us a bit about the film?
Sure thing. Okay, so Night of the Living Dead is a 1968 American independent horror film directed by George A. Romero, starring Dwayne Jones and Judith O'Day. She hasn't got a question mark at the end of her name. I was just confused for a second.
Yeah.
The story follows characters Ben, Barbara, and five others trapped in a rural farmhouse in western Pennsylvania, which is attacked by a large and growing group of unnamed living dead monsters, drawing on early depictions in popular culture of the ghoul, which has led this type of creature to be referred to most popularly as a zombie.
So this is what Empire had to say. Whenever you watch an episode of The Walking Dead or read a Max Brooks novel or even fiddle with your smartphone on Plants vs. Zombies, you have George A. Romero to thank. Thanks, George. Nobody else has contributed more to the modern conception of zombies than the bearded genius from the Bronx. He's from the Bronx. I did not know that. And no film has kickstarted a subgenre so enduring or fruitful. Night of the Living Dead is scary. Sure, its violence caught audiences by surprise at the time, but it's also surprisingly witty. Socially cognizant satire from a politically loaded time. Little wonder that Quentin Tarantino once claimed that A in George A. Romero stood for a fucking genius. Now, the film's got 96% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got 7.9 out of 10 on IMDb, which is a very good score. I think we only ever had like one film above 8. So this is, you know, right up there. Have you seen this before? Do you know much about it? Have you seen any sequels?
I'm more familiar, I think, with the remake, unfortunately. I've seen the remake a fair few times, probably 5 or 6 times. I've only seen this film once before, I believe, quite a long time ago. But as far as I'm aware, I've seen all of the Dead George A. Romero movies.
Yeah.
And their remakes and their spin-offs and, you know, all that stuff. So completely, fully aware of the influence that this film has on all of those films and subsequently the genre that is zombie. Because zombies, it's a genre within itself, really, isn't it?
Like, it is now, yeah.
Yes, it's horror, but it is now, yeah. I mean, probably.
Now you've got, like, from the sub-genres. So you've got, like, fast zombies, slow zombies.
Yeah. Shuffling. The shuffling
zombies
hordes.
On a train.
Zombies on a train, zombies on a plane, zombies in an automobile.
Nazi zombies. You've got every sort of iteration of zombies now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you were going to describe a zombie film, you wouldn't go, oh, just stick this horror film on. You'd say, going to stick this zombie film on. Because then people go, oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yes, scary. I mean, are you scared more of the shuffling lifeless hordes, or are you scared more of the running, feral, blood spewing beasts?
I think for like personal safety, like I feel like the running 28 days later style zombies, they're like terrifying in like such a different way. But there is something, I think the reason George Romero like tapped into something here that's been taken sort of, you know, has been redone and reused in so many different films and media is because that idea of like seeing like a horde slowly like munching on finger parts and stuff and like walking towards you, there is something like really terrifying about that, really creepy. It's not like jump scare scary, but it's
eerie, isn't
yeah
it? It's also seeing like a loved one slowly become
one of
the undead. I mean, that's like a different level of horror, really, isn't it? It's like seeing a loved one essentially become one of the monsters and then you having to kill. I mean, that's layers of horror within itself there. This film definitely taps into that. It's quite simple in terms of plot. Some it introduces some ideas that haven't stuck in terms of zombies. Mm. Stuff that just to see the zombies do in this film
too conscious, aren't they? Like, so they use tools and they use like, there's a trowel that they use later, and they put lights out on the car and stuff like that.
Yeah, they sort of like, they know what they'll go, oh, I'm going to try and bite you, but I'm going to use this rock to smash the window first, or I'm going to use this trowel to stab you to death. It's things that haven't quite stuck. But then I guess if this was one of the first or the first iteration of like zombies, for everything to have stuck would have been kind of ridiculous. So the fact that some things don't quite work.
I was thinking about this, like a lot of tropes are like present here. So you've got like the sick daughter, which we've seen earlier on the list in Rec. You've got like the scenes where everyone's talking about the background of how they got to that moment. I saw a load of zombies and they took my car. You've got... Hey, you're right. Okay, cool. You've got... barricading the house. You've got the radio report where everyone's sort of I feel like I've seen that a few times where they're sort of watching the TV, especially like, I'm thinking like Shaun of the Dead, or that's more of an obvious sort of one, but I feel like there's loads of little tropes in this that have been taken and that you're still seeing things now.
It's almost like the most classic tropes you'd see were all present in this film, which I think is a testament to just how good it is, because how good it is at sort of introducing this sort of style of film or the zombie film, because loads of it stuck and loads of it still feels fresh when you see it done in different ways in different horror films. So
it's
pretty cool.
I got this quote from Roger Ebert. It's about like the effects the film had on audiences when it was released. So it's kind of difficult to imagine what it'd be like, but this was the first horror film that actually sort of because this is before ratings, so like kids went to the screenings to see this and stuff, and I think they were kind of expecting Invasion of the Thing from the Other Planet, or you know, that.
Oh, right, okay.
And then what he got was this. Roger said, the kids in the audience were stunned. There was almost complete silence. The movie had stopped being delightfully scary, but halfway through, and it became unexpectedly terrifying. There's a little girl across the aisle from me, maybe 9 years old, who's sitting very still in her seat and crying. It sounds like horrific.
Oh no.
Yeah, but it is like such a dry film. Like I don't like some people have said like kind of that's where the first bits are funny where Johnny the brother gets like in a wrestling match. But like
there's a lot of zombie wrestling matches there. It seems like that one of the styles of battling these zombies is to first of all get really close to them.
Yeah.
There's one where someone like rips one of them their shirts off. Oh, you've embarrassed me now. My nipples are out. It just seems like let them get. They're super super slow, but to take them on, I'm going to let them get really close, and then we're going to have a little bit of a tussle.
Yeah.
It is incredibly dry, and some of the cuts are quite jarring, and some of the looks that some of these actors give each other are kind of hilarious. Really, there was a couple of moments where I did laugh out loud.
The way
some people kind of looked at each other, or the way some people reacted, or how a line of dialogue was delivered, and not because it's super cheesy, but like it just feels kind of a bit out of place at times.
I feel like maybe I know it's filmed for $114,000, which sounds like maybe a lot, but I got the feeling they didn't have many takes, or they didn't sort of. It feels very rough and ready. It's almost like they were just like, okay, I read somewhere that they did improvise a lot of like the lines and stuff. So I get the feeling George did say, now you tell him about how you got here and we'll film that bit. Good, good.
Yeah.
You two wrestle now.
You two wrestle. Now rip the shirt off his back. I want to see glistening zombie torsos. Yeah. Come on, oil him up.
But like it is a great film. But let's get a bit more into it. So the key players, I've only written down two for now because that's who we start off with, and then we'll introduce more as we go on. Dwayne Jones as Ben, who is the black protagonist, which is apparently kind of a controversial choice at the time, but George has just said he was the best person for the job. And then Judith O'Day as Barbara.
Barbara.
I don't understand why she's such a main character. She really doesn't do that much in this film.
She's just a bloody hindrance, isn't she? Yeah. She's just like, I know your brother's just died. I feel terrible for you, but Jesus Christ, wind your neck in.
Yeah, wind your neck in. Okay, so the film starts. We've got Barbara.
Barbara. Flight of the Conchords, isn't it? Yeah. There's no such name Barbara. As Barbara.
I'm sure it was Barbara.
And her name does turn out to be Barbara.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
No, my name's Barbara. My name's Barbara, obviously.
So Barbara and Johnny, her brother, they're going to pay the respects to their dad. He's dead. He's in a grave. That's how it works. They go to go once a year or something, and Johnny's like a little bit miffed about it. And then they pay the respects. I don't think they actually get to the grave, I don't know. But then
he's a real skinflint, isn't he, Johnny? Because he turns up and he's like, "The bloody flowers I put here last year are gone."
Yeah.
Well,
it's been a year.
They have been there a year. He's like, "Oh, I've got to buy some new ones. Bloody hell."
He takes off his driving gloves and he's an interesting guy. And he's like, I think he's trying to creep Barbara out a bit. He's doing a whole "We're coming to get you, Barbara."
tries to put the willies up her.
Tries to put the willies up and on her. And and then we start to see, this is all happening very quick. We start to see the first zombie sort of walking up to them. He looks like he's just he doesn't look like a zombie. He just looks like he's a caretaker or something.
He just looks like a bloke who's had a heavy night out with the lads. Yeah. And he slept in the cemetery in his suit that he had on when he went to work yesterday.
Yeah.
He's a bit dusty. He's a bit pale, you know. He needs a drink. He's dehydrated.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like, not like a zombie.
He should get in his way. He's very hungover right now. He's just after some Lemsip. That's abysmal.
He needs a full English.
Yeah. And then Johnny and this guy start wrestling. It does seem like George has just said, okay, now you guys, wrestle. And they've gone, what?
Have a wrestle.
Yeah, wrestle. You mean just, yeah, go on. And then and then it seems to, I don't know, it's a weird little scene. It's not like how I imagine zombie wrestling to actually be, because there's not enough teeth. Do you know what I mean? Like a zombie would normally sort of go for the teeth first.
Yeah. It's like he's not interested in eating. He's like, he's just interested in really doing him in.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah,
you want to wrestle, do you? Yeah. You want to wrestle, do you?
Also, to note, they're not called zombies in this. They're called ghouls.
Ghouls. The ghoulies. The ghoulies. Yeah. So they have a little bit of a wrestle, don't they? And then the slammed. Zombie throws it. He gets slammed. He gets tombstone pile-drived onto a gravestone. Literally. Strikes his head on the stone and he's dead, and he's deaded. And then Barbara gets
away. I just thought he was knocked out and then Barbara runs away.
All right, well, KO'd then.
But I mean, they just say he's dead. But I just thought, well, you can't just leave him. But like, she's like terrified of this guy. She saw a hungover guy once before. She's like, never again. she's running away.
She's teetotal herself. She didn't believe in it.
No, get that smell of alcohol away from me. So she runs away. The guy chases her. She finds a house in the middle of the...
Well, she gets in the car first, doesn't she? And the guy tries to get into the car using a stone, a big old stone, which, you know, it takes him 3 attempts to get through that window.
Yeah.
I think, you know, sort yourself out, mate. And and then she runs away from him, but like, he manages, even though he's kind of just walking after her slowly, it's the Mike Myers effect, where he just manages to keep up with her. So she's pretty much running and he's walking, but every time she looks around, he's pretty closer. Much the same distance away.
Yeah.
He's closer and closer. It's like he's teleporting just behind
of that, you know, in the Holy Grail, when John Cleese is running towards the Lancelot is running towards the castle. He just needs to get further away and closer and further away.
it's like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, she goes to a lovely little farmhouse and basically hides inside.
Yeah, so she goes, this is a lovely house. It's kind of a free bear situation. She goes to look upstairs for a bed or something. The house is empty. But then she sees like a corpse, like a really mangled corpse in the middle of the floor. And we zoom into the eye. I really like that bit. It just seems to come out of nowhere. Just a quick zoom into the eye. Does she run away from the house again or something? I think she just tries to get away. She sees the body.
Yeah. I think she just tries to get away again. Yeah, she flees from the house, and then she just sees more and more of these figures descending upon her. Like the old hungover guy, he's got lads in from last night, and he's gone, right, lads, I know we're all hungover.
Yeah.
Let's get to this house. I think Barbara's going to make us eggs and bacon. So they're all descending on her, going, oh, bloody hell.
She's so hungover.
Got any aspirin?
People. Yeah. She's like, no, I don't go near alcoholics. And then she's like trying to get away from them. Luckily, sober Ben. Arrives. He's sort of our main character in the story, actually. I think I can't remember what he's doing. He sort of fights with them. He sort of wrestles, but he knows what he's doing.
Like, he does a classic. Oh, zombies, are you? Well, I'm gonna get really close to you, let you have a little sniff. We're gonna have a little wrestle, and then gonna sling you on the ground, and that means I won.
Yeah.
We don't get any classic like bludgeoning zombies' heads to death or shooting zombies in the head at this particular moment.
Not yet, but I think there is a. Did he screwdriver someone in someone's head at some point? There's a bit of head.
There's a bit of head popping, isn't there?
Popping, yeah, at some point. Which is a classic zombie trope as well. Okay, and then they sort of get inside. He starts trying to board up the windows and stuff. Barbara keeps talking about Johnny. He just punches her in the face.
they have a little slap and exchange here, don't they? Which is quite good. So she slaps Ben because she's like, I gotta get out there and get my brother. I gotta go back and get him. Gives him a slap and he's like, ah,
yeah.
I ain't fucking standing for that.
I'm pretty sure she's concussed for the rest of the film. Like, she doesn't really say anything for us. It's like always looks a little bit spaced out. I imagine in the audition, she wasn't even listening to it's like the direction in which she's perfect. She's like facing out somewhere.
She's looking out the window going, oh, there's bloody lovely clouds out there today. And I've gone, you're perfect. You're exactly the kind of absent-minded person we need for this film.
Yeah. So I was thinking, why is she like so... Because she's like catatonic for most of the film. Like, she doesn't really say much. I think at one point she mumbles random stuff. And I was like, oh, it's because she's not got like 40 years worth of zombie culture to like understand it. This is like completely unfathomable.
Yeah, it's like, what are these things?
Yeah.
So at this point, are we thinking that are the zombies actually risen from graves? Or are most of them just...
They think they're murderers, don't they? I think at the minute. They don't really know what they are, I don't think.
Yeah, but, like a bunch of bloody murderers turning up.
Yeah, I mean, Ben has been doing some killing at some point, I think.
Yeah.
So
at this point, we're introduced.
Go on.
We're introduced to the sort of house has got a cellar, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. And there's like some people downstairs. There's.
Yeah, yeah. So there's like a couple, a married couple, and their daughter who's been done in.
Yeah. So now we've started to introduce another like zombie movie trope, which will be used again and again and again. Like the warring factions of humans trapped in like a small environment. You know what I mean? So like this, Ben's like saying, okay, we're gonna stay up here, we're gonna board up the windows and stuff, and we're just gonna secure this area. And this guy's like, no, you need to come downstairs into the cellar. It's better in the cellar. For some reason that's enough
we love it in the cellar. Other.
No, they're just so angry. You've got such a different opinion to me. Can't believe it.
Yeah, it's pretty much that. I mean, it's a standard zombie trope where groups of people have different opinions, and that's kind of like their undoing in the end. Because someone always tries to do the wrong thing, messing up for everybody else.
I don't understand why they don't go with Ben's plan, because the cellar's always a good, like, final option. Do you know what I mean? Why would you go straight into the cellar?
Yeah, it's a good option to fall back on, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they're pretty content down there. I mean, it's nice and warm down there, maybe.
Yeah. So at some point around here, so there's two more people. I don't know if we've introduced them just yet. There's like another couple.
Yeah, a sort of teenage couple, didn't they? And they sort of arrive, and that's when we start seeing the emergency broadcast TV.
Okay. Yeah.
The radio thing.
And it's aliens. Or like
They're like, there's been some sort of space mission, isn't it?
Yeah. I think this is where like the humor, like George Aaron Rose's humor comes in. It's kind of like tongue in cheek, cheesy scientists saying that they brought some space radiation back from Venus. And they think it's something to do with that. At this point I think they're starting to say they are eating, they're murdering people and eating the flesh.
Yeah. They're cannibals.
Yeah, at this point, are they starting to shoot them? Do you know what I mean? Because there's that whole like resistance sort of thing happening, like loads of farmers.
Yeah, yeah. We do see some footage as well of the farmers, the police officers, and that, and they've all got guns and they're sort of going around.
Yeah.
Killing all these zombos.
So it's worth noting as well. So the sick daughter is in the cellar. At some point, the young couple are starting to side with Ben. I think they want to sort of try and get out there. Oh, yeah, so at this point, after finding out about the sick daughter, the news report says there's these following places where people should try and get to. It's like a safe haven. You need to try and get here, otherwise you're going to die. So I think they start to make a plan to how they're going to get out.
Yeah, they start to make a plan for how they're going to basically escape the house, and it involves getting to the car and refueling first, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's like
getting to Ben's truck and refueling.
Yeah. So, what happens there? So I've got like a bit of a blurred memory of this bit. So I've got from this bit, and then they blow up the car. Not too sure. How.
Yeah. So basically, they try to get Ben's truck and go and refuel it at a refueling station, which is like a pump not far from the house. And Ben and one of the teenage lad decide to come, sort of get in the car. But then when they do, the teenager's girlfriend comes out as well.
Yeah.
And then it all sort of starts getting messed up. They're using fire to sort of like try and...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Molotov cocktails, yeah.
Molotov cocktails, yeah. Push the zombies back. You know, they get themselves into a right load of stupor here. This is where one of the guys rips off the zombie's shirt, takes his dignity right away. And then this is when the guy who was in the cellar comes and locks the door, locks him out.
Okay, yeah.
Like a right silly sausage.
Yeah.
But Tom accidentally spills gasoline on the truck when he's trying to refuel it, and it sets on fire. And tries to get Judy out of the truck, but she's like, "I can't, I'm stuck to something." Like a Fred or something stuck on something. And then suddenly,
when the seatbelt won't, it gets stuck, you can't loosen it.
Yeah,
you've got to calm down first. You've got to breathe. Take a break. Give it
she
some
doesn't.
Slack,
she doesn't calm down at all.
And then it comes off. Yeah. Gets his
old. No, she just leaves it, and he goes, "Come on, hurry up! You're holding us up." And then suddenly, the truck just explodes.
Yeah,
I like Ben's reaction to the truck exploding as well. It's like he's just seen a shooting star or something. He kind of goes, "Oh right,
yeah,
that's what's happened."
We don't actually see it explode either, so I think maybe that was a bit too expensive to do. Because I think it cuts away right and it cuts back, and it has just the truck on fire, and then Ben sort of goes back to the house, but at the same time, this is the bit I was like, wow, that is kind of super gory. Is when all the zombies out there now start eating Tom and the teen couple's burnt barbecue.
Yeah. Sorry, near remains. It just looks like they're eating a lovely bit of nicely cooked chicken.
Yeah. And they're sort of pulling hands apart and stuff, which I've seen in a few George and Romero sequences, ripping the fingers in two. It's really gruesome. Up to now, it's all been a little bit sort of... there's been a few gory bits, but this is the first bit I was like, whoa, okay. That's actually... Yeah. That's pretty intense.
You can imagine this bit being the bit that when people first saw it in the cinema was pretty much the first shocking bit.
Yeah, you saw this is when the 9-year-old started crying.
Oh, no, they're eating the hands and feet. No, they're not. I've got hands, I've got feet. Are they going to eat mine? Yes, they are, and I shut up and watch.
Yeah. Okay, so Ben tries to get back in the house, but Harry, the guy from the cellar, has locked it. Ben gets back in. Somehow. How does Ben get back in?
He just kicks the door in. It's pretty easily as well. Not even deadbolted. He kicks the door in, and I laughed at this bit. He kicks the door in and Harry sort of peers around from the door, and then Ben just glares at him like this. "Lock me out, did you, slag?" And then Harry again goes, "Oh, no." And then Ben sort of just gives him a slap.
He gives him a few pounds, doesn't he? Gives him right. Clobbering.
He gives him a right club. It's clobbering time. Yeah, he screws him up again. Also, named Ben Grimm. clobbers him. Which was, I did kind of laugh at this bit. It was a bit silly because Harry at this point was so sort of lifeless. I thought, is he a zombie? And then I was like, no, he's just scared.
Yeah,
and then when he turned up as a zombie, and when he does turn up as a zombie a little bit later, I was like, is he a zombie? Again, I was like, I couldn't tell the difference between whether this actor was being a non-zombie and a zombie.
It's because you can't see the color of his skin either. You didn't watch the colorized version, did you? Did you watch the black and white?
No.
Okay.
I watched black and white, did you?
Yeah, black and white as well. Yeah, but like you can't.
I didn't even realize there was a colorized version. Yeah, to be fair.
I had a quick look on YouTube. It's all up on YouTube. The colorized version. It looks super weird. Like some of the scenes look kind of normal, but then you can see, like, especially when they go into the cellar, like the colors are so the wrong choice. Like there's a glowing shirt, and it's unbelievable. But yeah, but you can't see the color. Like you just see like when he gets tired or beaten. Or turns to a zombie. He has the same zombie eye bags. So it's like, it does look like a zombie.
Eye bags. I recognize those eye bags anywhere. You're a zombie, aren't you? No, honest. I just had a heavy night.
Just very tired, thank you.
Just very tired. Yeah, I'm really tired. The cat kept me up all night.
Are you from Manchester? That's a nice northern accent.
I think it might be. Yeah. Spending so much time.
So at some point, the lights go out. The zombies start to break into the... Like, they make short work of the boards that Ben has spent all day working on.
Yeah. They chop like, through them. Like,
They must have had some...
boards, is it?
Some karate zombies sort of chopping away in. And then at some point, so Judith... Not Judith, what's her name? Barbara. She sort of wakes up. And she sees Johnny, her brother.
Johnny's trying to come in. See, I forgot about Barbara.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I mean. Yeah, she's completely catatonic for most of the film. And then she gets. In fact, no, this isn't just yet, because before this, we have the fight for the gun. So as Ben is trying to hold the zombies off, the hands are all sort of reaching in. He drops the gun. Harry gets the gun. He aims it at Ben. But Ben just sort of boots it out of his hand or something. He gets a gun and shoots it.
Boots it out of his hand. And he shoots Harry because he's an absolute belter, isn't he?
Seemed a bit harsh to me. His wife and kids still in the house. It just shoots him.
Maybe. That's all right. He deserved it.
But fatally. I would have shot him in the knee or something.
Bang! Oh! That would have been condemning him to death anyway, because all the zombies were getting in.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to survive.
Yeah. Okay, so Harry stumbles into the cellar. It's like a really like slow motion sort of walk. he's got me shot in the belly. He's sort of like dying, and he sort of does this weird like crouch walk down the cellar.
I've been shot in the belly. Can you pretend you've been shot in the belly, but act like that? But I've never been shot in the belly.
Just do like I'm gonna act. Walk or something.
Just pretend you got like real bad stomach cramps.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Oh,
here's your motivation. There's a toilet downstairs. You need a shit.
Get down a toilet.
So this point, Barbara is sort of, she sees Johnny is a zombie now, and they sort of pull her out into the horde. She gets. Disappears into the horde pretty quickly.
Another classic zombie trope: getting pulled out by the horde,
into the horde
disappearing.
Yeah, yeah
like
yeah.
Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, I do keep thinking of Shaun of the Dead, but then I keep having to remind myself. But that is a pretty direct.
exactly. It's just like Shaun of the Dead. Has it copied Shaun of the Dead or something? I think it has.
Yeah.
Get some original ideas, George.
So the daughter who's been downstairs in the cellar, she's come alive, undead alive. And she's
come undead alive. She's turned out to be a zombie, which, you know, we all kind of saw coming. That was the constant threat of her turning into a zombie. And she comes alive and does a classic thing, which a zombie does, which is kills her mum with a masonry trowel.
Trowel, yeah. It's proper like, long sequence as well. So the mum's on the floor.
Yeah.
It takes about 5 minutes to just... Over and over again, like stabbing her.
I just kept thinking, if I was the mum, roll out the way. She had time to roll out the way or get up or stand up and punch her daughter in the face or anything. But she kind of just lies there and just goes, don't do it.
Like seconds ago, Ben has just booted a rifle out of a guy's hand as he was shooting him. Like,
yeah.
She can't get away out of the trap.
That's the kind of reactions we need to be dealing with these slow zombies.
Yeah.
Reactions like that, booting guns out of hands. But no, she just allows a child to stab her with a trowel over and over again.
Yeah.
What a way to go.
So now pretty much everyone's dead. I mean, the zombies are coming in the house. Ben goes downstairs. He shoots. the daughter and the mum, I think. Yeah. She's got a trowel sticking out of her chest. And he just has a little sit down.
He has a lovely little sit down. He seals himself in the basement cellar while all the zombies get in the house. And you kind of think, this is the end for Ben. You know, this is the end for Ben.
Yeah.
But he doesn't end up kicking the bucket in the way you expect.
I laughed out loud in the next bit. So
it was obvious, wasn't it? I mean, as soon as I saw them shooting the zombies, I thought, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
So all the people could have done the clear up squad of like there's like policemen and farmers and stuff, they're going around killing all the zombies and burning the bodies and stuff. And then this is the morning after, and they see Ben looking out through the window, really quick, clean shot to the head, and he was dead. And I just laughed. I remember I laughed when I first saw it as well. It was like on a super late at night. It was the Stella Artois Channel 4 present. And I remember just seeing that bit, and I laughed. It's just like it's almost like one big joke on the audience.
Yeah, I mean, it is a bit like that. Like, and he kind of like he could have done anything. He could have gone, "Don't kill me! Look, I'm all right. I'm a top bloke." Yeah. And then, but they just go, "Oh, good shot."
Yeah.
Good shot. You killed the protagonist of the first ever zombie film. Good shot.
Yeah. So just to I just got a message from Michael Miendo on the Horror Hangout group. He said, Night of the Living Dead is a classic that happens to rip off Richard Matheson. One of the most eerie endings to a film, though. So he thought it was eerie. I thought it was kind of funny. I thought it was like a big joke. Anyway, some of it is a little dated, but I like that no one is really a hero. They all just need to survive, and some people handle it better than others. Characters make some odd decisions, but it was a good watch overall. Yeah, the characters are kind of funny in this. They're not like real people, are they?
So we're thinking of Richard Matheson ripoff. So what are we talking? I Am Legend in particular?
Yeah. So I think I maybe had some trivia on. No. Okay. So he based this script. He wanted to write something like I Am Legend, with the idea of the world's something cataclysmic is changing the world, and there's people sort of holed up in the house, which is from I Am Legend. But he had to change it to zombies instead of vampires.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think it's similar at all. I mean, I read I Am Legend not too long ago, and it's almost as if you could take any sort of inspiration from anything like that and change it in this way, and it would just be considered an inspiration. I would never call it a rip-off.
I wouldn't say it was a rip-off. I think it's a completely different type of threat in it than I Am Legend, because in the book, obviously, they're very manipulative vampires, and they're trying to get him to come out. They're trying to lure him out by sort of just using language, and they're trying sometimes they're threatening, and sometimes they're tempting, and sometimes they'll have lots of like naked female vampires to try and tempt him out. And it's trying to sort of like, based on his humanity, trying to lure him out. But this is just like lifeless.
Yeah,
ghouls, yeah. Really, yeah. So I mean the concept of like being holed up in a house, that's kind of pretty much it. But
I can see he's taken that idea and he's made something kind of fresh out of it. But like,
which is how all the best ideas pretty much are made.
Yeah, I think George, I remember reading that he said he was really inspired by that. It's like the whole world is changing, and there's one character who refuses to change, and like, the world's changing anyway, so he's sort of on the losing end. But there's a sort of respect for a character who's willing to continually fight. So I can sort of see what he was going for. But like I said, I think this is different enough to be considered not a ripoff.
Yeah. Definitely.
Even though he calls it a ripoff himself. Like, he's so down himself. If you read someone into the George, he just seems so sort of, I don't know, kind of upset with himself.
Modest.
Like, modest, yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe he just doesn't like to praise himself too much. Yeah, I don't know. But okay, so that's the film. Directing style and jump scares. I don't think there were any jump scares. I think the scariest bit for me was the horde eating the body parts.
Yeah, there were a couple of kind of jump scares when zombies kind of like came out of the darkness and grabbed people.
Yeah.
I guess, but all stuff that you were kind of expecting, I think, in certain particular moments.
Yeah.
Would you could call the end in like a super shocking moment, like if you just weren't expecting that at all?
Yeah, bet back in the day that didn't really happen. Like, just shot the main character.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was a very, very bleak ending, really.
Yeah. Okay, you ready for some trivia?
Yes.
Okay. Number one, Judith O'Day, also known as Barbara, owns and operates O'Day Communications, a firm which deals in oral communication training. She specializes in the communicative techniques of screaming. True or false?
What? True.
It's just a load of nonsense. Well, yeah, I mean, the first part is, so she does now own a communications firm. She doesn't specialize in screaming, though. That's absolutely ludicrous, Ben.
Bloody hell. I was looking forward to that being a real thing.
Yeah.
Hello, how can I help? No!
Well, I mean, like, I did kind of feel like they must have some sort of horror final girl specialist actress who can tell people how to scream and not, like, hurt their voices.
Yeah.
Like, they have, like, people who, I know I joke about Andy Serkis a lot, but, like, they do have, I remember watching the Planet of the Apes, the making of, not this one, the Tim Burton one, and they had, like, a monkey specialist who would teach people how to act like monkeys, and they had a whole school.
Yeah.
So maybe Judith does a bit of that for screaming, I don't know. Okay, number two. So one of the early screenplay drafts concerned the exploits of adolescent aliens who visit Earth and have sex with teenagers. So one of the first drafts of the screenplay had sexy aliens having sex with teenagers.
Sexy alien sex. Yeah. True.
Close. They weren't trying to have sex with teenagers. They were befriending teenagers.
So wait a minute. This game is true or false. It can't be close when I give one of the answers. That's just okay. Completely. So oh, they're trying to be friends with them. That's creepy. The fact that you got friends.
Okay.
You said being trying to be friends with them and trying to have sex with them was close.
They said
that's
friends,
creepy.
But I'm suspicious. They say friends, but I'm
not. Right,
okay. I don't trust them.
Hey, would you like to be friends with me? Are you trying to have sex with me?
Anyone who says hello to me, I'm like, get away from my ass. I growl at them like a dog, just like an alpha male. Okay. Okay, when the zombies are eating the bodies in the burnt-out truck, they're actually eating roast ham covered in chocolate sauce. The filmmakers joked that it was so nauseating-inducing that it was almost a waste of time putting their makeup on them because they end up looking pale and sick anyway. True or false?
True.
That is true. Number four.
Roast ham covered in chocolate sauce.
Yeah. Romero actually based the idea of the story based on a dream he had after eating a particularly large Christmas ham. True or false?
Did you say Christmas ham or Christmas hat?
Christmas ham. Which is false. Which might be a thing in America. I don't know what.
False. I think it was a Christmas hat.
That is false. Just a load of bollocks. I just made it. Okay,
that's a load of airy bollocks.
The body upstairs in the house was actually made by George. He used ping pong balls for the eyes. True.
True.
That's true.
True.
Yeah, apparently he used ping pong balls for the eyes. It is what it says on the tin.
That's very good.
Yeah.
That's pretty resourceful.
You only see it very briefly as well. It just sort of zooms in. I wonder if he like painted them on there. I don't know.
He popped them out somewhere.
I would like to see like a making of like this, but is there any sort of documentary based around this film?
I don't know. Maybe based around one of his Of the Dead films, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, George, by the way. We haven't paid our respects.
Exactly,
rest in peace,
yeah,
George.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you want to grade the film? Now you've said rest in peace, George. What do you want to give him as a grade?
Oh my god.
Now he's sort of listening in a way.
I mean, in terms of my enjoyment of this film, I think it wasn't super, super high, but I do like a lot of I completely respect the film. For what it created and what its legacy is, and the films that came after it. I think when you think of the films that came after it, it will kind of push this rating up slightly because of that. I'd probably stick with a B minus.
Okay, I'm going to give a B plus.
It's not. Oh.
Yeah, so I jumped in there. For the same reason, I mean, I quite like this film, and I think it's a good film. I think I liked watching it. But it's like the king of zombie films. Like, how can you not like? And I liked all the sound effects. I didn't really talk about that enough. I liked a lot of the sound design, especially with, like the TV, like the phone when there's no one on the phone. It makes like a weird sci-fi sort of noise that phones don't make.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the TV stuff. I think it's good. I just, I'm giving it a B+.
Cool.
And I kind of want to watch Dawn of the Dead now again.
Is Dawn of the Dead on this list? It's not, is it?
It's not, no.
It's weird to think that Day of the Dead and Night of the Living Dead are on this list, but Dawn isn't.
Yeah, that is weird. But I wonder why. I wonder why Day of the Dead is on here instead of Dawn of the Dead. Although I did like it. Maybe it's the...
Well, maybe we should watch Dawn of the Dead as one of our honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Or maybe we should watch the Dawn of the Dead remake as one of our honorable mentions, because that, considering we've already done a few George A. Romero's on this podcast, it might be good to do something a little bit different, considering the Dawn of the Dead remake is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I went to the cinema and they told me I couldn't go in because I was too young. I think I went back another day. And
with fake nose and glasses on.
Hello, my name is Mr. Burns. Okay, Mr. Burns, what's your first name? I don't know.
I don't know. I think that might be the greatest Simpsons moment ever.
I know, yeah. I don't know. Okay, so that is this. Yeah, I think we should do. Maybe we should watch both. I don't know. Because I've seen it in a remake loads of times. I've seen the original once.
I've seen both quite a lot, but I think the remake I've watched a hell of a lot of times. So it would be good. It would be good to go back and watch both, because I think
apparently,
it might be good to see.
Land of the Dead is good as well. Like, I remember watching it, but
yeah, Land of the Dead's all right.
But apparently it's better now. Apparently it's aged quite well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe
like a cheese. Okay. Yeah. We'll discuss this and hopefully discuss some zombie escapades of George's and of Zach's in the future.
Yeah. Okay. So also, it's a bit worth note. The remake of this 1990 was directed by Tom Savini, who was a special effects crazy genius from who did the Day of the Dead effects and stuff. And Creepshow and all that, that's cool stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. There is going to be a Day of the Dead remake as well, isn't there?
Is it?
Yeah, I saw a picture of the guy who is possibly going to be playing the Bud character. Is it Bud?
Yeah, no, there is. Yeah, I remember you saying, yeah.
And also, they've changed his name.
What did he change it to?
I can't remember, but I think they've called him like Dave or something. Here we go. So John, a guy said is talking about playing Day of the Dead's new Bub, and he's described him as Bub on steroids. Yeah, which is weird.
Very beefy.
Oh yeah. But his name's Max.
Okay. I think they're going to remake this again as well.
Oh well, I suppose it has been. Oh god, it's been almost 30 years since the 1990 remake. So.
Whoa. I thought you were like, yeah, it's been ages since this one. But no, it has been nearly 30 years since the remake. Wow. Shit the bed.
Shit the bed.
Okay, and on that note...
There we go.
Next week, we're going to do Neil Marshall's The Descent. I've seen this film a lot.
Ooh.
I've seen both endings. If you go by the Netflix one, it's the original UK ending, which is the bleak ending, which I prefer.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And there is a... Yeah, it's a great film.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's it then. Well, I guess we'll see you next week. This show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. I'm a patron at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovac Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners for listening to the show. And thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude.
Thank you, Luke.
All right, ciao.
Ciao, Bella. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.